Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the second scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 5, but especially these words. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, especially the graduating class of 2016, be careful how you walk. Now that sounds like a basic and obvious statement to make. What could be more simple than walking? Why, some people can do that in their sleep. All of us here today can probably walk and chew gum at the same time. But yet, there are situations in life when walking is not that simple, and taking the next step is not that easy. If you've ever sprained your ankle by awkwardly stepping on a crack in the sidewalk, or stubbed your toe on some object sticking up out of the ground, or slipped on the black ice covering the pavement, you know how important it is to be careful how you walk. You could stumble, fall down, and get hurt. But in today's text, the Apostle Paul is actually using the word walk in a figurative sense, as he does in many of his epistles. Paul is talking about how you live your life, in what manner you conduct yourself, rather than how well you move around with your feet. Our text deals with practical matters of daily Christian living. Paul wrote these words of exhortation here in chapter 5 after he first laid out for the Ephesians some of the important truths of the Christian faith. Earlier in this same epistle, Paul covered such topics as predestination, the heavenly exaltation of Christ, salvation by grace through faith and not by works, the unity of the church in Christ, and the new life we have in Christ who dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. And after laying out this groundwork of Christian doctrine, Paul moves on to more practical matters that involve the Christian's daily life, in world, in marriage, in the family, and also in the workplace. And in many ways, this brief outline of the book of Ephesians follows the same pattern of life for a typical seminary student, especially at this important turning point in time. As seminary graduates, you now have been taught the true doctrines of the Christian faith these past several years. You have studied the Holy Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. You have learned about such important truths as predestination and justification and sanctification and the meaning of Christ's exaltation. And now you are theologians. You can rightly divide law and gospel. You're capable of preaching and teaching and giving sound instruction in the true Word of God. But yet this evening, after you walk up these stairs and receive your diploma, and then step outside these doors, you'll be called upon to put that training and teaching into practice. And how well you fulfill your ministry not only involves what you teach and say, and how well you prepare your sermons and Bible studies, it also includes how you live your daily life, how you lead others by your Christian example. You now have to be careful how you walk because other people will be watching you and even following after you. You'll be in front of others, leading the way for the flock of Christ. And how you lead them and where you lead them is not only important, it's a matter of great spiritual and eternal significance. And in these six few verses of our text, you find some good, sound apostolic advice on how to walk, how to conduct your life in ministry as you go out there to lead God's people. First, Paul mentions the use of time. Time, as well as money, are usually the two things that are always in short supply within the church. And you'll find out many difficulties are caused by a lack of time. There's no good time to schedule that next committee meeting. There's not a lot of time to get the 7th and 8th grade class ready for confirmation. Suddenly you realize you don't have that much time to get ready for next Sunday's Bible class and sermon. In order to get things done and still have time for your marriage and family, which are also very important, you'll need to be good stewards of the 24 hours that God gives to you each and every day. Therefore, be efficient, be effective in how you use your time. Paul says in this text that the days are evil. And of course, that was not difficult for him to say. He was persecuted by so many of the Jews from the local synagogues, threatened by those pagan silversmiths of Ephesus, arrested by his enemies in Jerusalem, and ultimately martyred in the city of Rome. But then again, when haven't the days been evil? From that day when Cain murdered his brother Abel, to the time when the Egyptian Pharaoh ordered that all Hebrew male infants be killed, to that moment when Christ our Lord was rejected by his own people and condemned to death, to the time when Martin Luther had to be taken to that Wartburg castle to protect his life, to our situation today where ISIS beheads Christians in the Middle East, the days are still evil. The world still suffers from violence and corruption and hatred and murder. And that means our work in the church will not be easy. The devil and the sinful world around us will always resist the word of God and try to hinder the mission of the gospel. Scripture clearly warns us, saying, "Do not be surprised if the world hates you." As servants of Jesus Christ, you will always be the fragrance of life for those being saved, but also the smell of death to those who are perishing. Therefore, be on your guard, since the days are evil. Our text says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." There's a right time to drink wine, and then there's the wrong time to drink wine. The Apostle Paul himself once recommended that Timothy drink a little wine for medicinal purposes. Jesus himself changed the water into wine at the wedding in Cana to allow that joyful celebration to continue on without any disruption. And of course, our Lord took that cup of wine on the night when he was betrayed and blessed it, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you," giving us that holy supper of his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Wine has a good use, but also a bad use. Our sinful nature tries to deceive us into thinking that drinking too much wine will be just fine, and that overindulgence will help solve our problems and make us feel so much better. But in the end, drunkenness and alcohol abuse will only hurt your ministry and harm your marriage and ruin your life. Therefore, be careful how much wine and alcohol you drink. Our text says, "Be filled with the Spirit," addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Music is a wonderful blessing in the church. We use it for our hymns and liturgy to worship the one true and saving God. But yet you find such a wide variety of music, wide variety of worship styles being used in the church today. Unfortunately, not all of it is good. Not everything labeled as Christian is actually faithful to Jesus Christ and his word. Because of this, we must learn how to test the spirits to see if they truly are from God. And in our text, Paul is actually making a connection between being filled with the Holy Spirit and the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time event. Instead, we need to be continually renewed by the Holy Spirit, even though the Spirit was already given to us in our baptism. For this reason, we gather together for worship each Lord's Day. The saving presence of the living Christ in our worship service is promised to us by the Lord himself, who said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." As we gather together in Christ's name around God's word and sacraments, we are once again filled with the Holy Spirit, and we join in the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Holy Spirit inspires our worship of Jesus Christ as Lord. And Christ himself, who is present, he breathes into us his Holy Spirit through his gospel and sacraments. Whatever hymns and liturgy we sing and worship must be inspired by the Holy Spirit and actually do the work of the Holy Spirit, which is to lead us to faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and God. Our text is encouraging us to worship using Christ-centered words and music that honors the Lord who is present there with us in divine service. As Christians, we worship Jesus, who does not change. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our worship of him must always confess those unchanging truths of Scripture and that eternal salvation we have only through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be careful what songs and hymns and liturgies you use in worship. Our text says to always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Heavenly Father is the source of our life and salvation in both a spiritual and physical sense. We owe him our thanks for being our Creator, as well as for sending his Son to be our Redeemer from sin. Everything we are, all the gifts that we have, come from the Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things were made. Even our worship, prayer, and praise are offered only in response to the blessings God has first given us in Christ. Therefore, in all that you do and say in your ministry, be thankful to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text concludes by saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Since Jesus is the Lord and we are his people, we honor and respect one another as brothers and sisters in Christ out of reverence to him. Christ, who submit himself to the Father's will, went to the cross for our salvation. He gives us the example of how to submit to one another in order to accomplish the will of the Heavenly Father. We honor and respect one another as we realize and recognize that God has spread out his good gifts, many good gifts, throughout the body of Christ, which is the church. The church functions with unity as each member does his or her work in faithful service for Christ and his kingdom. For this reason, we submit to one another for the sake of good order in the church and to keep peace and unity in the body of Christ. For Christ himself is the one true spiritual head who is over and above each and every one of us. Therefore, be humble and submissive to one another for the sake of Christ. But along with all of this apostolic guidance gleaned from our text, with perhaps a little bit of fatherly advice from Dad mixed in there as well, the Word of God not only warns us to be careful how we walk, Scripture promises us that Christ will walk with us as we go out into the world and serve his name. Jesus, who is our good shepherd, he literally fulfills those words of the 23rd Psalm. Christ is the one who makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside the still waters. Jesus is the one who restores us and leads us in those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Christ will walk with us as we go through that valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, we should fear no evil. The goodness and mercy of Christ will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear graduates of the class of 2016, you do not depart from this seminary this day walking away all by yourself. Christ will go with you wherever your pathway leads. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And even though we all stumble in many and various ways, we fall into sin simply because we're not that careful how we walk. Through faith in Christ, He will lift you up. Christ will set you back on your feet with His word and spirit, and He will sustain you along life's journey with His body and blood that continues to cleanse us from all of our sins. For the risen and living Jesus has promised to be with us as His church, even to the end of the age. You do not leave this place walking away all alone. Christ, whose power and love and grace have no boundaries, He will walk with you every step of the way. In the name of Jesus, amen.